But that's the thing. Were you ever like taught by a like a male figure like how to pee?
Absolutely not. I joke about my first white sleepover and how the biggest thing that my mom had to prep me for is that there's a man in the house or there's a dad there.
That is still, honestly, I don't know why you're not famous, because that's an all-timer.
Hello, hi, and welcome. I am Brandon Newman.
And I'm Matt Stofsky.
And you listen to Sitting
on Business. Sorry, just to be clear, the name of the show is Sitting on Business. Because that's what we do.
On Business. Welcome to episode two.
Episode two, two and a half, three. Well, we don't know what's going on. There's a lost episode out there.
Yeah, who's counting? Probably it should be us, but... You don't judge.
It certainly should be us.
Right? You guys don't judge, right? You guys are...
No. The listeners love it. They love our laissez-faire attitude.
Yeah. Well, we should... obviously, we're bringing people behind the curtain. We recorded episode one before we had our audio up. So, episode one, if you want it, you gotta go into the comments in the Apple Podcast reviews or Spotify reviews and beg for it. You got to go beg for episode one as a lost episode, and we will be happy to oblige.
We are hoping, and I got to give credit to our buddy Chetan Gole for putting us on to this comparison, that episode one is going to go down in history as the lost Wu-Tang album that's going to get bought up by some sort of pharma bro. And,
you know who's going to
put in a vault?
Baron Trump is probably going to end up buying our first episode.
He does listen to a lot of podcasts.
Apparently so.
Get it on NFTs. He's a big fan.
I am currently wearing a shirt I got from Target. Okay. And I was going to wear it to a Sky Zone birthday party that my four-year-old son was going to go to, was invited to for him and his classmates. 60 people RSVP'd to this Sky Zone. And I don't know if you know, but like Sky Zone is like a gateway drug in the Tyler community. Like we everyone's finding out parent wise, like how dangerous it is. It stunts people's growth and things like that. So like people don't go. So when we saw the invite, we're like, oh, like everybody like knuckled down. Like I text some other dads and I was like, are you ready for this? Like our kids amputees coming out of this thing. But anyways, I was going to put this shirt on when I was going out to the party. And I asked my son, 4-year-old Carter, does this work? Like, is this shirt working? And he said, not on you, but the flowers are nice.
Well, that kid is already too intelligent.
It's so good. I'm gonna talk about him a little bit. We're gonna get into some. This is the first little segment of the show, Child Support Chronicles. This is where
we should be clear. We mean more like emotional support.
Oh yeah, I mean, listen, if you're in the house with the kids, it still should be called child support. Especially if
you're
a dad.
I just don't want our dear listeners to think that you're a divorced dad.
Right.
You know,
I am in Florida.
Living in a bachelor pad in Florida. Yeah.
And wearing a flowery Target shirt seems like everything you'd know, see from a divorced dad. No, happily in marriage counseling after 15 years of our relationship together and 5 years of marriage. It is the best. I highly recommend it.
It was time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I fucked up enough. Yeah, it was time. So
we're going to have to talk about that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But not right now, because we got a lot of business to sit on.
No, yeah. We're sitting on kid business right now. So this Sky Zone birthday party. Okay, so listen to this.
Bro, I'm sorry. You completely distracted me with sitting on kid business. I'm so ready to pivot. Forget it. Let's find whatever lane will get us the most money the fastest. Sitting on kid business. This is a kid podcast now.
You can call us Mr. and Mrs. Rachel or Mr. Mr. and Mr. Rachel, or I don't know how it works.
It's unclear.
Yeah, I know there's a gender fluid person that does music on that show. Shout out to them. Listen.
Word.
Okay. this guy's on birthday party. Okay, so Listen, I haven't had time to get a proper haircut. And back when you met me is when I really started like cutting my own hair because it was free. And even when you took me to do my first stand-up, it was about an encounter I had with my barber that I had just met in South Orange. We went out and talked about it. But anyways, I've gotten pretty good at cutting my own hair to the point where this haircut that I have currently is one I did to myself in preparation for this Sky Zone birthday party because I was just way too unkept for it. But you see how everything looks nice until you get to the point where like the back of my head
could like it does it, like, it runs yeah it runs out of gas by at the back but the but all business runs, on the front and side
the fade runs its course and turns into a full fro once you get past the ears, which is nuts and can only be done in Florida. And honestly, when you're a black person around other white people, they really don't call you out on that stuff. But if you're I was around black people, like they're like, nigga, what's wrong with your hair?
Okay. Because it looks great. No, I mean, just to describe it to listeners, I mean, yeah, you got the nice fade on the side, a little longer on top, pretty classic, you know, high and tight look. And then I hear what you're saying that, I mean, but that's kind of a look, at least in Brooklyn. That's what everybody does. It's kind of the mullet thing, a little, yeah, like a little thicker.
Yeah, like a reverse faux hawk or something like that. Yeah, a little thicker in the back. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I had Michelle clean me up a little bit. And after all of that, I got too insecure and wore a hat going into Sky Zone. So listen to this. I found out Michelle says that like other parents come up to her and like point out where the other kids of color are. They're like, oh, have you met, like, you know Frank Thomas,
the baseball player?
Yes. So his
The Big son, Hurt?
Yes, the Big Hurt, the White Sox legend.
Wait a second. Are you about to tell me that the Big Hurt is in your community?
Nutrigenics own the Big Hurt. So his his son from his newest family is out here in Sarasota, and he's at this school. This is the first time Carter's going to school. It's called ODA Outdoor Academy. It's like into sports and we kind of know Dick Vitale and his family, and they kind of put a good word in for us to even get Carter there as a pre-K student, but it's pretty upper echelon stuff. We're trying to get him to IMG, so you got to start somewhere. But like,
that's unbelievable, like, baby. Did you like that Dickie V?
It was okay, but I
got to work on it. He's a diaper dandy. No, I got to keep working.
More
We're gonna six. Cut all of this.
More
yeah.
six.
More, yeah. We almost lost.
Hey. But yeah, I think that's a very like we're practicing like what to say back to people when they like try to tell us like where the other like kid of color is. And this is the last thing I'm gonna do before I'm gonna get off this tangent of Child Support Chronicles. But
I'm loving it.
Carter's friends recently start talking shit a little bit, right? Like they said that basically said like he's got these like orange shoes and he said that his feet look and smell like pumpkins. And it was like supposed to be like really like derogatory the way he like brought it up to us. And I told him, I said, okay, when you hear a friend tell you what you look like or sound like or smell like, you should ask them what they look like or smell like. And then you guys should brainstorm there together and they like not tell them it's a roasting session, but like a little 4-year-old is like, what you look like?
I mean, that's the most savage burn of all.
To what not you even look like, oh, mom and dad related looking ass. Like, what you look like?
Bro, that is like heartbreakingly sweet, you know what I mean? That because like the world is so mean that like that for little kids the meanness is that your orange shoes make you look like a pumpkin, you know what I mean? It's adorable,
and like, they smell like pumpkins
and they smell like pumpkins whatever they smell like. Like, man, I know he will, but I hope he never grows up. I hope he just stays a little boy forever.
It's nuts, man, to see them. And then obviously I mentioned in the kids of color thing, you guys got to look out that for eventually you and Seti, once you guys start procreating, not to push it on you, because I'm not an 80-year-old woman seeing you guys in the streets.
But that is not a good look. People going like, oh, have you met Jason over here? His mother is Korean, actually.
It's like, oh, are you related to Daquan? It's like, no, who's Daquan? Oh, he's in the third grade class. It's like, oh, no, we just moved to Florida.
That happens to Seti all the time, too, because, you know, we talk to people, a lot of old people, whatever, and she'll be like, oh, I'm from South Africa. And they'll be like, oh, I went to Egypt in 1988. Like, all right. I mean, it's a pretty big continent, but cool, I guess. Love doing that. But I think it's coming from a good place. You know what I mean? Like, people do it all the time. Be like, oh, I'm from Seattle. Someone will be like, oh, like, I've been to Oregon. I'm like, okay, yeah, like, I see you trying to meet me somewhere. Like, I, you know.
But people, like, Seti saying she's from South Africa and somebody saying their favorite Pixar movie is Madagascar is wild.
Yeah. Dude, that's honestly, we've had shit close to that. That is not far off.
Oh, man. Okay, but what you had a... now, what black people call a coming home or going home visitation that you had that you
want to talk exactly about. Right. Yes. I don't know what the Jewish version of a home going is. We got to come up with it. But it's true. I went to a memorial service for my dad's side of the family, an old guy. So it was like more of a celebration of life. Not so sad. I mean, he was in his 90s and he lived such a full life. It was just so cool. He had written or dictated a little bit of a memoir, and somebody read it out loud, and it was just so cool. Like, it was almost like Forrest Gump. Like, he just like bounced from like job to job, and like all of a sudden he was working in CBS News, and all of a sudden like that he was working on the Kennedy campaign. And there's a picture of this guy in the Oval Office with JFK, and he was the one like helping JFK, you know, look right for the TV debates, and like he was in the control room, you know, telling them don't cut to commercial in 1960 when Richard Nixon was like sweating bullets and like looking like an idiot on national TV. And this guy, my dad's old cousin, was in the mix in the 60s. Like, that was just like, that is so unbelievably cool hearing these stories about this dude. And the kicker is that his stepson, my dad's cousin, so I guess it's my, I always get this stuff confused. It's like my first cousin once removed, whatever. And I think I've told you about this dude before, but this guy, the stepson of the guy who'd passed away, did the voices for Pokemon. So the guy emceeing this memorial service is Brock, Charizard, Snorlax.
What?
My cousin, Eric Stewart. I couldn't believe it.
Gotta catch them all?
The one and only. And this dude shows up to this memorial service. He's the stepson, by the way. And he's emceeing. And he's wearing like a shirt with like some kind of like... almost like flames or something on. I was like, that is so badass. Like, I wish I could just pull up to a memorial, like doing me. You know what I mean? It's like, cool. Yeah, like, this is that
graphic tee shirt. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh. Michelle makes fun of me all the time. Cause I'm every time I see somebody, I'm like, man, they're just unapologetically themselves. That's so good to see.
All right. And we've just landed on yet another new name for the podcast. Welcome to Unapologetically Themselves, where two guys try to break out of their shells, even though it's obviously too late.
But let's go back to the Sid and the Shiva. This man had his thumbprint on American media in a way that, like, in an odd way, like his stepson stepped into it as well. You know what I mean?
Like, you know what's fascinating?
What Pokemon is this,
dude? Pokemon. Oh, wait, I wonder if I have it. I can't get up in the middle of recording. I've got a signed VHS cassette, like the Pokemon movie from like 1999 or whatever.
Somewhere, I remember. There. Mewtwo was in that thing.
Honestly, my cousin might have been Mewtwo 2 for all I know. Bro. But you know what the irony of all of it is that the old man, Bernie, he felt like he didn't achieve enough in his life.
Wow.
And me sitting there listening to the fullness of his life, I was like, dude, you thought you didn't like make it? Like, you were in the Oval Office with John F. Kennedy. Like, I know he wasn't like an advisor to the president, but it's like, you have lived a life. Like, he He sold skis at Bloomingdale's, and he worked on political campaigns, and he invented something for New Yorkers to put over their air conditioners so that the heat doesn't leak out. Like, this dude was like a Renaissance man of the old school. You know what I mean? Like,
what part of New York did he live in?
They lived in Brooklyn Heights, like down by the water for, yeah, I don't even know, like must have been 30 years or something like that. But yeah, this guy went to George Washington University on a basketball scholarship.
Shut the front door, Fauci.
And then he dropped out because he didn't like school.
Wow.
And then he did his own thing.
Wait a minute. Let me just say, because this could be a good segue into what we want to talk about next. It is interesting that those who feel like they've underachieved in life still found the time to pen a memoir.
Like, I know.
Like, you know, you're cooking. Like, you know, you're doing something. Like, you know, you're doing something now.
Just drop the humble act already.
Yeah. So if somebody was supposed to read this, like, he was like, man, I gotta leave these receipts somewhere.
It was so cool to hear. But I was wondering, like, because I think we're both, and probably every dude, is just like fascinated by old men. You know what I mean? I wonder if women feel similarly about old women. Because we're just like, you see an old guy and you're just like instantly like walking through his entire life story in your head. You're like, oh, that guy's seen some stuff, man. He was probably in Desert Storm. Shout out to last episode.
Yeah. Shout out to Pops. Listen, no, I think this, you're onto something. And I think it may be even more potent when it comes to like subsets of men. Like when I see like a really old black man, I'm like, damn, like he went through so much, like so much craziness. And I imagine for like women, seeing women, they're like thinking like, oh, like I wonder if they were a mother. Even if they weren't, they had to like run into menopause at some point in time, and like bodies change so rapidly and drastically for women as they age. And I think it is interesting to think about, especially our own lived experiences, in seeing someone that we just, that kind of like may have a similar upbringing or background, and think like, wow, like we were born in a really, really great time of in history, like individually, where regardless of where we come from, especially from our parents' standpoint. But also, I have to say, if we're going to complain a little, we had the Iraq war that made gas super expensive as soon as we had to start driving. And then, is that not true? And then we ran into...
Now that feels right.
I mean, I guess you could just say the pandemic is like one of those things that like in our lifetime, of, and that's everyone's as well, but like we've had to live through some shit.
No doubt. I always think about that. It's like, yeah, the old people have too, but we got 9/11 and COVID 20 years apart. I mean, that's a bad run.
That's, and it's not great. And it was like the COVID thing was the first time in how many ever years?
Yeah.
Florida, we got hurricanes. But listen, so enough complaining. I wanted to move on to us talking about subcultures, right? And like the underneath of the mainstream, which is interesting. I thought about that with Bernie, because it is, I'll speak for myself, like when you have your hands in a bunch of a small, very, very small part in very big things. Like I've worked for some big companies, and obviously we met at the Late Show with David Letterman as pages. Pages are minuscule to the bigger product, but they're kind of not in a very real way when it comes to like the TV show and the experience that people are coming to go see, since we're dealing with audience members and things
like that.
That's
true. So people always talk about like being a cog in the machine as like a bad thing, but it's like cogs are really important.
Huge.
I think.
Like,
you can't do it without cogs.
If you're not in New York City and have to go get your car fixed and it's one cog is off, you got to get a whole realignment. You may have to get new tires. And God forbid a car gets caught in the tire.
Then you tell me that cog's not important. Bro, I got it before. Wait. Before we move on, I forgot to tell you a very funny detail from this memorial service. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot.
I love it.
You know how like people like you go to events like this and there's like multiple families coming together and you're like, oh, that's not my family, but it's related to someone in my family. It's all that kind of a weird degree of separation. Yes, like, oh, that's the other side. I don't know anything about them. Like that's someone else's cousin or whatever. This relatively old guy gets up and he's talking about my cousin whose husband passed away, who's an older woman herself. She's in her 80s now. And he was like, this guy was like, I remember seeing you. You were such a beautiful woman and you had long black hair when we were kids. And I was like, bro, that's your cousin. And this is a memorial service for her husband. It was so bizarre. I cannot even. Seti and I were looking at each other like, is this guy like about to like things are about to get freaky?
It was a different time.
It was a different time in New York City, I guess. It was weird though, dude. He was just like, yeah, she, you know, I remember you. We rode the train all the way downtown one day with your long black hair. He just kept coming back to her. I was like, you have got to stop, sir.
You have to stop fantasizing about your cousin, sir. It didn't work out.
She said no. We're all fully hard. Just stop talking.
Okay, but I have to do this quick aside because this is
yes.
I feel like this is the only time we're going to get to this ever in this podcast. Money and ownership and all this stuff is like some of the wildest shit ever to me. Like we are later on this week, we're going to close on our house in Louisville, Kentucky. It's the house that we bought when we left New Jersey after I got into it with Dave Portnoy at Barstool. And
that's for a future episode behind the paywall.
Yes. Yeah. That's when the newsletter goes out. We'll start tapping into that. But should we live in Sarasota or should we live in Louisville? I was like, we've lived coastal elite, like rich, like not rich, but like having to spend a lot of our money on just living for so long. Let's try to live cheap and move to Louisville, where I'm from. We did that. Didn't really work out the way we like to. Louisville was like still very stuck in the past. It felt like dangerous in a weird way. Like the Trump supporters here down in Florida and Sarasota, I can just like kind of push them out of their wheelchair. The Trump supporters up there were like, you know, had like nuts on their truck and were as big as me and, you know, probably still wanted to get me back for something I did to them in high school on the football field. Not like anything. It was weird. But anyways, it was a great investment. It was a beautiful house. Like, God bless us with it. We like prayed on it. One of the only reasons why we got it sold to us is because the seller had a 2-year-old named Carter, just like our like 1-year-old. And it was just something like a little, like just like little nuggets like that matter when it comes to these big sales. So
for sure.
When we moved to Florida, my mom lived in the house for about a year and then my brother and his kids as well. So it was like really nice to just have it in the family. Whenever we would go back to Louisville for anything random, we got a chance to be in the house and stuff like that. Even when we left the hurricane, we quarantined. I don't know if you quarantine from a hurricane. It's probably called something else. Evacuated.
I'm down with quarantine.
Yeah, we set up shop in Louisville and it was perfect because we needed to do some final touches to sell the house. They are selling this home for, I think, $365,000 or something like that. And I think we got it for like $280,000 in 2021.
Okay.
So it's like, it's like, and obviously paying the mortgage and things like that. But like, it's interesting how big boy money stuff works in general.
I thought the takeaway was going to be.
Such a switch. Like, you could talk like a rugrat.
But bro, that's how I feel too. That's when I'm like confronted, like just today we were signing up for health insurance and like
benefits time.
I barely understand open that enrollment. Shit. Yes. Said he was explaining to me like what a deductible is and it's like, wow, I am a child. Like, how do I not know the most basic shit about how the world operates on a financial level?
It's all like Nate Berbig, Nate Bargatze has this great bit about his wife being the man of the house. And like somebody coming over and asking him about like to fix something, and he's like,
"Bro, oh, no. Like, I know that bit.
Yeah, let me go find her. Like you're not looking for me. You're looking for her. Like
that, I know that exactly bit. Is that the one where he like he doesn't know what's going on, so he puts on a suit to try to seem like knowledgeable and professional?
Don't remember that part of the bit.
I might be conflating like multiple bits, but yeah, Bargatze
bits.
I was just listening to another podcast. There's this great like political podcast called Know Your Enemy that I'm now apparently plugging.
Ooh.
But I listen to it all the time, and they talk about the right wing and the sort of intellectual history of the conservative movement and how we got to where we are today. But they did an episode a while back on like what it means to be a man. And so much of it for most men seems to just be like, can you do stuff? Like, what can you do? Do you have what it takes to do the thing?
But are the things that are being done? So here's my take on it. I just recently started working out, so I've experienced more testosterone in my body than I have in years. My doctor told me specifically I was low T, and I was like, well, I sit down to pee a lot, so that makes sense to me.
But is it out? Is it just because it's more comfortable?
No, it's a natural reaction to like losing fat and adding muscle.
But wait, I was talking about you sitting down to pee. Is that just out of comfort, or is it just like you worried about like dripping, or what are we talking about here?
It's a little bit of like cleanliness, laziness, and supervision. When you have children, the only way you can kind of keep an eye on what's going on and where is to kind of have them in front of you to be able to see. So like it helps visually. It's like I'm like sitting on the bench or something like that. You can see the game better from that.
Never
from
turn
that
your back on the ocean.
Never turn your back on the ocean or the audience. Improv rules. So and then there's the cleanliness part of it, because I do clean bathrooms and splashing is real. Like I tell my sons to wipe the toilet seat, like even if you don't see anything, it's happening.
Bro, you know what's been happening to me lately? It's been like dripping on my feet. How's that possible?
You gotta stay leaned over. I think you gotta stay over the toilet bowl a little bit.
I know,
You're cutting
I'm
it
leaning
short.
Back.
The older Lean we get, back. The older we get, the more we have to keep it hanging over the toilet bowl a little longer. And if you're sitting, the shaking or the milking situation at the end is much more. You know, if you're someone like me, you break off a little square and get that dab, get the head all the way clean before you dunk it back in the drawers.
But that's the thing. Were you ever like taught by a male figure like how to pee?
Absolutely not. I'm not going to keep bringing up bits here, but I joke I joke about my first white sleepover and how the biggest thing that my mom had to prep me for is that there's a man in the house, or there's a dad there.
That is still, honestly, I don't know why you're not famous, because that's an all-timer. Honestly,
but it was like, so yeah, like there's no, I trust me, I think about this all the time. As I'm like, honestly, I was thinking about my boys the other day, and I was looking at them, and I was like, it kind of sucks that they have to have jobs one day. Like they have to learn
devastating
about all this stuff, like job reviews, all this other stuff. Like I'm trying to remind myself that my self-worth isn't wrapped up in me doing a good job for a company I work for. Like this is, jobs are a form of torture and terrorism, but we don't talk about it enough.
That is so, so true. I just read a little bit of Karl Marx's Capital, Volume 1. I was taking this online class, and that was one of the readings that was assigned. And so it was written, I don't actually know when, but in the 19th century, right? So like 1850s, maybe 60s, I don't actually know, but somewhere around then. Because I know the Communist Manifesto was 1848, so I think
everyone
it was
knows
that. Everybody fucking knows that. But, dude, I mean, it was just fascinating reading Karl Marx, and he's talking about the day shift and the night shift, and that like the capitalists and the owning class, they found a way to just make the workday 24 hours. Like, they figured it out. And it's like, wow, I never really thought about the night shift in those terms. But yeah, it's just your time is not your own if you work for someone.
It's like not supposed to be in a weird way. Like I've mentioned, I've worked in social media for a long time. And one of the things I got told when I first started working at Fox Sports was like, you better not get caught tweeting from your handle while at work and you're supposed to be posting something like from, you know, like a sports media clip or whatever it was. And then I don't know who told me, but they said, don't feel like you've done your job when starting a new show account until your show account is like doubled what your follower account is on your personal page.
Like, then it's, we like, have definitely not done our job.
Yeah, not yet. No, definitely not yet. Not yet. Not yet. But like, not just yet. Like that type of, but that's like not, it's like overlord rhetoric. It's like very, oh, like, sure. You know what I mean? Like North Korea, I don't know what they're dealing with over there, but like it feels,
they wish very, they were tweeting.
It feels very constrictive in a way, but it was what I was used to too. Because at Notre Dame, there was basically being on the football team and having a Twitter, there was like a player personnel person that had to follow you if you had a Twitter. And it was one of those things where like, if you were tweeting wild stuff, they'd hit you privately and be like, hey, you need to delete that or like take that down, X, Y, and Z. And then there's things where like, if you're with somebody else, cause like I was with Michael Floyd, this one time, and we were like, oh, it's just like party that was after a bowl game. It really shouldn't even, like, we weren't even in school during this time period, but Floyd was drunk and going off. And the guy hit me and was like, Brandon, take Floyd's phone and delete those tweets and keep it until the morning. Like, so like I was used to this type of like, everyone's watching type of thing. And I envy those, like, you know, people that frequent gas stations that, you know, tweet to their 30 followers and say whatever the fuck they want.
Dude, that's the whole Trump movement. It's just dudes tweeting to 30 followers from the gas station. But if there's 150,000 of those people, then, you know, I can't do the math, but whatever 150,000 times 30 is, that's a lot of followers.
I think this is time to switch gears and listen to a little bit of Lil Wayne. I want you to go ahead and set this up for us.
Let's do it. I mean, we something that we obviously love to talk about, if you listen to our previous episode, is the rap game, and not just the game, but the actual lyrics, right? So I think we like the culture and the craft of it all. Both things are of great interest to us. And this dude, Corday, formerly YBN Corday.
Yes.
He just dropped an album, and he's a lyricist, and we like that. You know what I mean? I think we talked a little bit about this last time. We like bars.
We do. We like bars, like heavy bars. More bars, heavy. The better. What was your like first interaction with Corday?
That is such a good question. I honestly don't remember how he came on the radar, because now he's all famous because of Naomi Osaka. But yes. I remember from the YBN days, I was like, oh, this guy's a lyricist and I like it.
So the YBN people, this was like a big shift in the rap culture, because this YBN group came together because they were all video gamers or streamers, and like they were kind of in a group and they started rapping together as well. And while most of them were kind of on their Trippy Red stuff, was like not really too coherent, this guy seemed to be really into rapping and the craft and getting better. And, you know, it was a big deal when he dropped the YBN and just went by Corday. And I think I first saw him because he was a freshman first class. He was a XXL freshman. Maybe I'm. Yes, he was 2019 class. So usually, if you guys don't know, XXL puts out a freshman first class. It's really not that prevalent anymore, but when we were coming up, it kind of was. Like, it was like, I still remember the class that Kendrick Lamar and Little B and Yellow Wolf and who's that the rapper, Diggy Simmons and, Mac Miller was in that class as well. But like there, it was a pretty big deal as a rapper to make a XXL freshman first class. And there was these ciphers that came with it that have been mocked now on the internet. And now these internet streamer people are doing those type of ciphers. But all of it came from this XXL freshman first class stuff. And I had a good habit of like listening to the ciphers as the new classes came in. I don't do it anymore, but.
Right. Cause now it's corny, but it's so like, it came around in such a weird way. It's like, so the YBN dudes were like streamers who like basically ciphered their way into rap success. And now the whole like concept of the cipher is being mocked by streamers. Like it's just this yes. weird,
oh
like,
my God.
snake eating its own tail shit. Like, I don't even know what to make of it.
But anyways, enough about YBN. Corday is a rapper. He is the father of Naomi Osaka, famous tennis players. He's the father. Are they? They're not married, but they're dating.
I don't know. Right? Yeah. He's the baby father. We don't know.
These people are real people, and they're private. And it's kind of interesting the way they both have kind of shied away from mainstream spotlight and kind of cook when they want to cook, which you know is the Tyler Creator method. But not all of those lead to Grammy nominations. But they don't. It's kind of admirable for like the younger kids, like this generation that's probably, they're probably tweeners between millennials and Gen Z people. And they were just like, you know what? We just want to be happy.
Yes. She's always talking about mental health on the, I think she took some tournaments off from the yep. ATP tour because of
and even mental health. Coming back, she's been very transparent about her, the snatch back, bounce back, which is body stuff, which is terrible from others, especially on social media, and it's a lot of peer pressure.
Wait, I don't know about that type of stuff. Can you explain that to me? Break it down for me. I never heard about that.
Well, mothers, obviously, when they're pregnant, you know, bodies are in shambles a lot of times, and then obviously, when you come back from pregnancy, there's a lot of nature going on, but society celebrates the snapback, snapback culture. So it's like getting your body back to whatever it was pre the baby. And it's really difficult and kind of unrealistic. And it's as like different as everyone's thumbprint is of how difficult it is to like kind of get back to that. Cause realistically after every child, your body changes in a way that it never goes back to a specific way. So for it to even just like cosmetically look great in a bathing suit again is like, you know, celebrated amongst, and right. I don't really know if it's like a men peer pressure thing or women pleasing women thing, but it's prevalent and it's a thing. And that's something that Naomi Osaka has been on Instagram kind of showing her body, talking about the recovering from pregnancy and things like that. But then you got Serena on the other end, who's like, doesn't need to promote it as much because she's like been, she did it in a very like, you know, LeBron spend $1 million on your body type of way. It seems like, but enough BBL Drizzy.
That's bro.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I don't even know when this was, but I just saw a fun, you know, how she's Serena is married to the, one of the co-founders of Reddit, right?
Yes.
Alexis Ohanian. There was just some funny picture of them at some tournament where he's holding an umbrella over Serena and their daughter, and so one of the sideline reporters is like, I think it must have been Wimbledon because he was British, the sideline reporter is like, oh, it must be so nice to have your own umbrella holder. And she didn't realize that it was her husband, you know, because he's just like a dweeby looking white
no they like, but they he, had to have been tongue-in-cheek. They people have to know.
They didn't
people
know
have to know. I think,
they have to know, but they didn't. And I think the reporter may have apologized, but I'm also just making that up. I have no idea.
Oh,
I can say anything on this podcast
to call him. Oh,
and he's obviously like a billionaire in his own right. Yes. Which, not that money is everything, but it's just like, send us a couple Rolexes on the house.
Oh, well, and also speaking of BBL Drizzy, I think he said in his most recent album, Serena, your boyfriend is a groupie.
I thought that was absurd. Absurd. It's like, yeah, he is, and he's proud of it.
Yeah, like Drake doesn't understand how relationships work.
Yeah, like, it's like, you are a fan of your wife. Yeah, that's That sounds right, actually. Yeah,
like most of these nuptials have something in there about being each other's biggest cheerleaders, and it's a real thing.
Yeah. But honestly, this is the perfect segue, speaking of BBL Drizzy, because what we're about to listen to is not even Corday himself, but really his mentor, one Mr. Dwayne Carter. Lil Wayne has two features on this Corday album. And apparently he gave Corday some advice, which I thought was interesting, and I wanted to see if you had seen this on social media. Wayne apparently told Corday that he should rap on every song on this album like it was someone's first time hearing him, which I thought was good advice.
Wow.
That's good advice.
Great advice. And honestly, a testament to what we hear from Lil Wayne. Kind of like a seeing how the sausage is made a little bit. That makes a lot of sense.
Let's roll the tape because all this talk is making me just want to listen to some vintage Wayne.
Okay, this is from Corday's new album. What is it called?
The album is called, oh my God, that's not what it's called.
The Crossroads, Saturday Mornings, featuring Lil Wayne.
Yeah, hey. Dealing with a lot of problems, don't know if y'all can relate. Feeling like Rod Wave, I got a lot on my plate. And I can really use a stress reliever. Cause where I'm from, they catching bullets like the best receivers. The choppers singing like Justin Bieber. The most effective leaders have closed mouths and open ears. Like the Nile, I could flow for years. I really got my own sneaker, used to shop at Sears. Okay. Rap niggas lying through their teeth, though these are not veneers. Skipping through the airport, but soon we'll hop on Lears. I conquer fears, running up them M's and draw my mama tears. I love Jim Carrey, but don't fuck with yes men. I need honest ears. Went in the studio, turned down the movie role to finish the album. I pray the outcome is good. Clayton Bixby, I done took a nigga out of the hood. Okay. Carrying water.
Okay.
But wait, can we just talk about that line real quick? That Chappelle reference there? That was deep.
Yeah, he's... he does these things. He does these things. He does. And that's one of the reasons why he's still around is like he tries stuff. Like these last couple of projects really haven't done it for me since like Lost Boys, I think,
is 2019. Yeah, that was the one that I liked with that Pusha T verse. Yeah, that was the one.
Just like one of the best albums of that year. For sure. So when you're a young person and you put out that type of stuff, you're like, oh, like I listen to all the other stuff and it just hasn't hit like this. This he's actually spitting. And obviously as one should, when you have Wayne on the track with you. But let me, I want to go to Wayne's, or should we play it out? What do you think?
No, let's go to Wayne's, but it's weird, right? Cause he's like Corday. Like, and I mean this with respect because I like him, but he is kind of corny. He just is. Oh, I don't know what it is about. 100%, of course, right? Yeah, he's just corny. Yeah. I don't know why. I can't even describe it.
Well, when you come into the game as a video game or a streamer into as a rapper, like I think that's already, you might as, it sounds like a derogatory statement, but it's not. You might as well come in as a white rapper. Because you have like a specific fan base that's rooting for you that's not a part of the general hip-hop rap community. For sure. Is that fair to say?
I think that's got to be a huge part of it. Like just, yeah, his whole deal is just like, I don't know what it is, but he's just a spitter. He's just got the pen. I don't know what to say about him other than that.
But he also takes his sweet-ass time. Like he is... This is, I don't know what number project this is of his, but he does not turn them out the way, you know, a lot of the popcorn rappers like, or you know, Drake has been called that. Like that's not his bag. That's not his steelo.
His last album looks like it was 2022, which I didn't even really listen to from a view.
Yeah, that's the one I listened to, and I was just like, okay, he is. I would compare it to? I would compare it to Chance the Rapper's Best Day Ever or The Biggest Day. What is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Best day ever or something like that. We were actually going to lunch in New York City when that album came out, and we were both individually listening. Yes, we were both individually listening to that album. And then when we got to each other, we were like, Super Song, Dragon Ball Z, the Super Saiyan, whatever. And then like that was the only song that we like resonated with.
Yeah, which sucks because like, yeah, Chance the Rapper, Acid Rap is one of my favorite hip hop tapes of all time. And then everything after that has just been the corniest shit in the history of the genre. What happened to you, man? Chance, Chancellor, come back to us.
Oh my gosh. You got
the bars. We know you have them. Just release them.
It is such a good project. Like, that was such a good, like.
That's the one.
Honestly, Kanye messed them up.
Kanye, which is ironic because he literally said, "I met Kanye West. I'm never going to fail."
That was the part of the vampiring, because Kanye does the vampiring thing with the act with the, because when Chance was around Kanye for Life of Pablo, let me tell you, okay,
he got vamped. Light Beam is still maybe the best song ever released.
Father, stretch my hands. Okay, anyways. Let's go back to the
recording. Let it breathe. Back to recording. Okay. Now put your hands in the sky if you feel the vibe. Just let it breathe. I need more real love and less fake laughs. The wet is mean mug like a face mask. She give me real love with that fake ass. It fit me like a glove, OJ hands. I'ma need a little love from your hating ass. Real love, Mary J plan. Need less yes men and more amens. I'ma need more real prayers and less praying hands. I'm smoking straight gas, no brake pads. You smoking Bubba Dub, nigga, straight trash. I get more camel toe than them A-Rabs. She deep throat the whole dick but couldn't take half. I take a nigga life before he take the stand. Take some drugs and take off, take some when I land. Standing on business, I'm a businessman. I'm the
sitting on business.
Sacrificial lamb. You a teddy bear, nigga, you a teddy gram. You sweetest jelly jam, honey glazed deli ham. Bubble gum, candy yams, my gun never jam. I got a heavy hand, but hold it like a steady cam. Am I talking to the Martians when I pray, man? I need to know, is there a heaven or just space jam? And it's Saturday morning every day, man. Young Carter and Carday, man, all day, man. Why they playing? Elvis has left the building with the Graceland. And if it ain't a red flag, then it's a red flag. And if it ain't Moolah, baby, then I ain't the dad. I need my head scan. Yeah, I need more hard drugs. That's a long
plugs.
I need the astronaut pack.
He's still going somehow.
Blunder like a rocket ship. Yeah, we going up. Coffee in a styrofoam cup. Good morning. It's Saturday.
He ended the song?
I love that man.
He ended the song?
Dude, he took it out.
I didn't know he took out the song.
Bro, I wrote Lil Wayne off for like 5 years. And I regret it. I feel like when he started like playing guitar, then I was like, no, you know, that era of Wayne when he was just like skating and playing guitar and like recovering from his syrup addiction.
Well, yeah, it was post. The song he did with Static Major, Lollipop. It was the post Lollipop era. Like, he went so big with that, and the remixes were going nuts, and he was like really spitting. I think he was in some type of contract dispute with Birdman, so he was like putting out music that he really didn't care about, or he was like trying to get off the label or whatever. For Cash Money. And
just for listeners, I am rubbing my hands a la Birdman just to make sure everyone
just to get the full taste. But yeah, that was weird. You know what was that? It was the video was in a hospital. What was the song? That was a single of the album.
That's when he lost me for a little bit. I was like, no, like, but you know, who was it? Jay-Z who said, if you want my old shit, buy my old album. So I just had to let him do his thing. But he could still really rap. I thought his brain was fried from syrup. Honestly, I thought he had just like fucked himself up. But he can really rap still, just as good as ever, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the features are kind of where he made his bread and butter for a long time in the mixtape game in the Dat Piff era. Shout out to Illegal.
Shout out Dat Piff.
Man,
that's where we're gonna start releasing our episodes.
I said that Piff, but I meant LimeWire. Both of those, Lil Wayne dominated both of those. What a Freudian slip.
Yeah, Dat Piff. Now you got me thinking about Dat Piff. I used to love Dat Piff. I found so some good. Crazy mixtapes on there.
So good. But, bro,
can I just tell you my favorite line from that Wayne verse? And I was trying to, this goes back to our conversation from last week about how some of the shit we love the most is like the nerdiest English major stuff, yes, in these bars.
Absolutely.
And I was trying to figure out with my wife, with Sandy, what exactly, like, linguistically he was doing, but I love the line when he goes, if it ain't a red flag, that's a red flag. And you know why I love, yes, that line? So obviously, all right, so break it down for listeners if you're not immediately getting it. The first use of red flag is a reference to the color of the Bloods, right? The red bandana, yes, the red flag. And then the second, yes, use of red flag is like a warning, like a negative, like a stop sign, right? And so it's like this man just said the same phrase twice in a row, and each time it had a different meaning. So he like turned it into a homonym where it's like the same sound and same spelling but different meanings. Like it just blew my mind, and it was so simple.
Not only that, it is like the old and the new, because the red flag thing is a very Gen Z dating thing of like this is a red flag, like I don't really, yes, like that. Like, remember that whole thing? So he brought in like his staple and mixed it in with like this very new generational thing and made it flow, yes, like only Lil Wayne could. But that does remind me of one of my favorite Lil Wayne lines, and it was from the Lollipop remix with Kanye West, and it was the classic "Safe sex is great sex. Better wear that latex, because you don't want that latex that I think I'm latex."
It just does not get better, really. At least in my book, like.
No, I mean it's he's a wizard with the words. We like to hear it, and also one of the biggest travesties in the world is that Kendrick and him teamed up on Mona Lisa. Like, I think, like, obviously, like, narratively and storytelling arc-wise, like, yes, like, blah, 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 but, like, no one's listening to that in a concert. No one is rapping those things. Like, no one cares about what actually happened to Mona Lisa. No one cares about the story. Like, it's not even as good as the story of, like, what was that Dr. Dre Eminem one when, like, end up killing him at the end? Like, that, like, there's some stories that we like, and this one, yes, was just like a word vomit, like flex.
But I get it. If you have that many words in you, you're going to have to vomit some out once in a while. Like, I get
with,
it.
With someone else who loves to do it.
Exactly. Well, like one for them and then one for us. Like, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we've been talking for a long time, and we could run out of steam, but I do think this is a good segue to talk about Lil Wayne, New Orleans Super Bowl, and Kendrick Lamar. Look, travesty. At that. I wasn't even trying to make all those things together. So
it was too perfect.
This year, the Super Bowl will be played in New Orleans, and now that Apple Music and Jay-Z is in charge of all of the musical guest stuff that goes on, I guess you can say. He's been in charge of it ever since the kickoff of the, what was it, 2020 season, something like that. He's been doing it for a while now, but now he's in charge of Super Bowls. Jay-Z, after the run that Kendrick Lamar made with him and Drake beefing, decided Kendrick Lamar was going to be the halftime show at the Super Bowl in New Orleans. After that was announced, Lil Wayne put out a multitude of videos and tweets complaining, damn near crying, and also
rightfully
saying
so.
That, wait 1 second. And he said that he should have done more to the lead up to this, knowing what it takes to get a bid at the Super Bowl. Now you are sounding like you are on team Lil Wayne at Super Bowl New Orleans, and I am definitely not.
Really? Tell me why not.
Or no, you tell me why. First? You tell me why you want, because I've kind of teased a little bit.
Because he's, I mean, he is New Orleans. Black and gold soul with the fresh New Orleans fitted. I mean, he is the city. He was like the only artist releasing any actual music about Katrina, first of all. You know what I mean? Like, nobody gave a shit. Kanye, you know, coming out and saying George Bush doesn't care about black people, like, word. But Wayne actually, like, made art about it that actually hit people. And he's got hits. Like, it's not all just mixtape Wayne. He's got, I mean, he could do Lollipop five times in a row with how many remixes they have, and it would still kill. You know what I mean? So I just don't get it. And Jay-Z, I think they're buddies. They've made music together. I know there's like been some historic beef, but I think ultimately they're cool. Like Mr. Carter. I mean,
okay.
Talk to me.
I think if you're talking about discography and importance and like the regional flair of things, yes, absolutely. But the Super Bowl is the antithesis of a regional act and interest. It's like, it's as mainstream as you can possibly get. And I understand that Lil Wayne at one point in time is that, but I don't know if I can name five Lil Wayne songs that I could bet that 80% of America knows.
That is a pretty damning statement. And I couldn't either.
And outside of that, I feel like the Super Bowl is so big on the performance level aspect of it. And I don't know if Jay-Z trusts Lil Wayne's performance level as an older artist now as much as he would Kendrick Lamar, who got a test run at the Super Bowl in LA when they had it was the Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Eminem, surprise 50 Cent, surprise Kendrick Lamar.
Wasn't 50 Cent like on a pull-up bar, if I remember
he was
correctly?
Upside down, like in the club video all over again. And I actually saw him in the hotel that we were staying in while I was out there. It was weird. It was funny. But he was like complaining about power. Like he was like talking to his assistant about like some like the what's the thing called when you before you show up somewhere for a production?
Table read?
Call sheet. Yes. He was like complaining about some stuff on the call sheet, which is so funny. And we share the elevator together. But
that's unbelievable. I'm starstruck.
But I would say that I think because this was kind of so with that and also like the cultural like movement of the thing now, like I do think that without the Drake battle, there's no way Kendrick Lamar is the halftime show person for this year. I think that what happened with the Drake battle and the popularity of Kendrick, bots are not, right? The numbers did the things that the numbers did. I think Kendrick with his features with Taylor Swift and Rihanna and Five and all these little things that Drake used to complain or like kind of joke on him about, like those are all reasons for Kendrick to be on that stage and they can make it work. Versus like Lil Wayne, it really feels like more of a lifetime achievement award thing that they do with the MTVs or something like that. You know what I mean? Like it's like you deserve it and it's in New Orleans, but you also know, like he said and admitted, he hasn't done the legwork, quote unquote, to be out here entertaining the Super Bowl.
You know, as much as I want to stan Wayne, I can't really argue with any of that. It's true. And especially I mean, what you said about how many songs 80% of Americans would know, it's like, okay, let's try. Lollipop, five times in a row. That's literally lollipop.
I want to say a Millie, but I think that's just too much hip-hop fans.
No.
You think so?
That was big. Or 6 foot, 7 foot. That was crossover. 7 foot. That was major.
6 foot, 7 foot.
Okay. But you're right. Even Tammy. Just doing this exercise has... has proven your point beyond.
No, but there's like, oh, you know what? We got to go back to the Cash Money Records. I think that worked. I think Bling Bling or Drop It Like It's Hot. I think both of those would work in his stilo, in his discography.
But then you start getting hairy.
Then you really don't like.
It gets tricky. I mean, yeah, really just Carter III. He could just do like Carter III and maybe be okay. Because then you got Mrs. Officer.
Go DJ. That's not the Carter III, but I think that could. But still. Like, that, yeah. Like 60% of them, maybe. Yeah.
But you're right. When I'm looking at his list of tracks, I'm like, oh, these are songs I would love to hear. But America would be like, really? You want to hear Bill Gates? I'm like, yeah, I used to be balling. Now I'm Bill Gateson.
No, honestly. In New Orleans, he would have to play Georgia. Like that's the song you're talking about, the Katrina one. Like he would have to play some mixtape cuts that like, do you remember Sports Center?
Of course.
Couple of tracks like Butter Somewhere to Bread Be. Couple of tracks like Butter Somewhere to Bread Be. I see beef is dead meat. Who the effing president? Yeah, me. Can one stand me? And you don't want to double dare me, hear me loud and clearly. Raps are near me. Wiretap niggas get blood in the earpiece. I'm from the ones doing near peace.
I almost said what you said. He's still going.
I mean, I was surprised that Lil Wayne verse, but the way that Jack Harlow did not answer the call when Drake stepped on Churchill Downs, Cordae at least answered the call when Lil Wayne stepped on his track, Saturday Mornings. Yes,
that's an excellent analogy, and I 100% agree. My final two questions for you are one. What's your favorite Wayne song of all time, mixtape or album? And two, if you could only listen to Wayne or Kendrick for the rest of your life, and that was the only hip hop you could listen to.
Oh, I don't have to think about that. Yeah, it's Lil Wayne. It's Lil Wayne. I think it was. So even during that whole, and I'm going to answer your question eventually, but even when it got to when that battle happened, I really got off of Drake and I was like, I really don't want to. I really don't want to do this anymore. But
that's such a funny way to put it, and I get it. And I saw Drake in Brooklyn, and it was like one of the best concerts I've ever been to. And this was like right before the beef. It was incredible, and it's like that beef just tainted him for me so hard. And it's so weird.
There's like a couple big like road trips I did and didn't listen to any of it. And then I was like, and then it was like the evacuating for Helene. And I was like driving in the middle of the night when my family was sleeping and stuff. And I just had to stay up and I was like, Drake Essentials playlist. No. And it's like, you can't help. Like, I know all the words. Like, so it helps you stay awake. And when it comes down to it, I was thinking that like, it's crazy that a predecessor of Lil Wayne in Drake is pushing in my knowledge of like the most lyrics that I know by heart. It's like Lil Wayne or Drake. But they're in the midst of the like I'm off of Drake thing, I started to try to listen to Kendrick albums. And you have to be in a specific, outside of Good Kid, Mad City, you almost have to be in a specific kind of mindset to ingest the experimentalness of Damn, or the message of To Pimp a Butterfly, I'll tell you something you can listen to from start to finish and just push play. What he did with that Black Panther album was masterful.
Mm-hmm. I know you love that Black Panther.
And obviously there's so many different and also there's so many Drake shade on there. Like I have to like, and when you go back and listen to discography stuff, you're like, oh, like speaking of Churchill Downs, if you listen to it, a lot of Kendrick shade from Drake in that song. So like, because it was brewing for so long, you can tell like that they really did hate each other for a long time. Okay, now.
Oh yeah, the hate is real.
You tell me your most popular Lil Wayne song. Or your favorite Lil Wayne song.
I don't know whether to go mixtape or album, which is the classic Wayne discussion, but.
There's no way I pick something from an album.
No, although I mean, Three-Peat is one of my favorite rap songs of all time, but honestly, it's got to be something from the from the drought 3, so I'm probably gonna have to go with, oh geez, it's tough. I might have to go with Seat Down Low.
Seat Down Low.
Can you picture it? I'm getting blanks from you. You know it.
Seat Down Low. Am I? Oh, that's the mixtape. Drop, yeah, drop 3.
Drop 3.
I'm on my seat down low. Am I not? Okay. That's funny because one of my favorite is him on a T.I. beat.
But that's the thing. It's like, I feel like we have the same, it's like almost hard to remember. And Wayne is the same. Like, I saw some clip of him talking about how he has to read his own lyrics like off an iPad because he's just got so many songs. That's how I feel. I'm like, I know what my favorite song is, but I also can like barely remember because every song is my favorite song of his because he's just the god.
That latex line that I said earlier, my friend Darnell Smith, shouts out to him, interviewed Lil Wayne in Los Angeles and read that to him, like said, and like Lil Wayne like reacted like, oh, that's crazy. Like,
that was your friend. I've seen that video.
Yes, that's Darnell Smith. He played with me at Ball State. And then when I left Speak for Yourself at FS1 and started working on the podcast with Joy, he got hired as the Speak for Yourself social media person. He's still working at Speak for Yourself now.
Dude, I've seen that video and it was amazing watching Lil Wayne's mind be blown by his own lyrical prowess.
It's so good.
Wait, it's like, okay, that Kanye line. Like, I've forgotten. What is that line that I've forgotten more classic shit than you've ever thought of or something like that? Oh, that's Wayne in a nutshell, bro.
Every
T.I. Wait, let me try to help you.
Okay.
Give me some. What lyrics do you remember?
The Maple Leafs, but that's a hockey team, but I ain't on a hockey team, but I'm a champion. Where's the fucking Rocky thing? Damn. Rest in peace, Apollo Creed. I'm a monster. Every day is Halloween. A lot of pills, a lot of syrup, and a lot of weed. And I keep my fuckers green like a pot of peas. And if you're hating, baby, you can get a side of these nuts in your mouth. And can you swallow, please? I'm so hot, I freeze. Big balls, and they jangle like a lot of keys. Even deaf bitches say hi to me. She tell a blind bitch and she say, I gotta see.
It could it be Upgrade You? No.
Yes.
It's Upgrade You?
Yes.
Upgrade? Oh, it is.
So it wasn't a T.I. It was...
Beyoncé. Bro, I'm just reading the lyrics right now on Genius and they are wild. The references are too crazy. They cannot see me. They are like Stevie. I am bearing a ton like Levy.
It's too much. No. I'm telling you, it's like I'm not going to do that. I could put the instrumental on and just rap the whole fucking
thing. Honestly, please do. And we'll just cut whatever. We'll cut almost everything else but that.
Okay. Well, let me
bro, please do it. I would pay good money to hear it. And I don't even have to pay.
Okay. Let me see.
I just have to be here and listen to you.
You guys want to hear me rap? You want to hear me rap? Why is that so funny? Let me talk my shit. No, wait a minute. Okay, let's do this. Let's go right there. Okay. Three. I love this shit. So let me talk my shit. I know you see the coffee getting money is what we on. Wide and drop top in the winter with the heat on. Bad yellow bitch, keep my passenger seat warm. Leg hanging out the window,
you ain't got these on.
Bitch, how I look, this is Louise. It is not Stevie, it is Louise. Like TV, I circle your house like BB, colder than the Hebe, GBs, never get freebies, 75,000 for these fees, I can fit 100,000 up in these jeans, big stacks, my pockets on creatine, Young Money Dipset, nigga, we a team, if you don't like it, you know Vaseline, I peel off in the Lamborghini like a tambourine. I got the engine straight shaking like a tambourine. I got the bitch with some lips like Angelina Jolie. Holy God, flow. I go where no other guy goes. Fuck you, ho, I'm so 5-0. hoe, I hoe, every snitch die slow. Hip high, that's my hoe, I hoe. She know I don't wear, don't want no dry hoe. Alright, bitch, I am D-boy, no decoy, and I will straight up destroy any boy or man, and I'm pre for money and bitches or just we for we or young money, bitch, and I am the lead or he or currency, Mac, main, and B-boy, and I just signed a chick named Nicki Minaj. And me, I'm still spitting like a retard, and these niggas soft and should be rapping in leotards. Nigga, we in charge.
Baby, put me in charge.
And I just murdering niggas free of charge. You dig? Just holler back, I see a Sarge. I'm so motherfucking high, I can eat a star. Okay, let me upgrade you. You may not be a model, but I can front page you. I know I'm nasty, excuse my behavior.
Let me just taste you. We can fuck later.
Up in the coop, looking like a racer.
Top feel back like the skin of a potato.
Sleep laid back, listening to Anita Baker. Riding by myself, smoking weed by the acre. Holly Gold Crater, ain't nobody greater. Leave you with some bullet holes the size of craters. You ain't heard the latest.
Weezy at the greatest.
Battle anybody, nigga, fuck over your favorite. It's a new game and I'm the coach like Avery. Leave it to the floor.
We getting dough like the bakery.
I don't want to, but these niggas making me put the motherfuckers on ice like the Maple Leaves. And that's a hockey team. And I ain't on a hockey team. That's a champion. Where the fucking Rocky team? Damn.
Rest in peace, Apollo Creed.
I'm a monster. Every day is Halloween.
A lot of syrup, a lot of pills, and a lot of weed.
Like a pot of peas. And if you're hating, baby, you can get a side of these. These nuts in your mouth, and can you swallow, please? Damn, I'm so hot I freeze. Big nuts, and they jangle like a lot of keys. Even deaf bitches say hi to me.
Hi.
She call a blind bitch, and she say, I gotta see. Young Carter, darling, understand I am Michael Jordan balling. Yep, I'm a dog, I'm a hoe, your homie. I'm a boss, your man's just an employer, mommy. Let me upgrade you. Let me upgrade you. Upgrade you. Weezy.
Bro, I just look at you and your eyes are closed. You went to a fucking dark place. Come back. Come back. Bro, did you... I need to know. First of all, that was incredible. Did you have the lyrics up at all, or that was all from the dome?
You heard me mess up at the beginning because I was trying to look at the lyrics. And then I was like, no, I have to... It was right when the Levy heebie-jeebie... I was looking at it, I got to put that away.
Yeah.
I got to put that away and just go from when I was in my 1998 Nissan Sentra.
And you really just did that.
Blasting that.
Bro.
So good.
I forgot.
You heard it. Tell me, like, that was, it was good.
You did incredibly. And I don't, it's
no,
so...
no, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Lil Wayne. I'm talking about the lyrics. I'm saying,
bro, like, the lyrics are untouchable. The lyrics are untouchable. I forgot how often I say some of these lyrics just in my head. And also, okay, so, where is that lyric? I'm looking at the lyrics. I say it all the time. Obviously I try to leave out the N word in my head, but there's that line when he goes, I don't really want to, but these making me, I think about that anytime I have to do anything I don't want to do. Or if I'm just like snapping off on somebody, like, you know what I mean? That line is probably one of my number one rap lyrics that's in my head at any given moment.
Oh my gosh.
I don't really want to.
It's so good. But I think one of my favorites, just because like it was like a high school football player during this time. 2007 is when this came out, so it was like I was like going to the league in my mind at that point in time. Yeah. But big stacks, my pockets on creatine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean,
and to rhyme creatine with we a team is just what is there to be said?
I mean, just to get too explicit, I think I just started like really getting into eating girls out. So the whole, you know, I'm nasty. Excuse my behavior. Let me just taste you. We can fuck later.
That was highly relatable to you.
So good. Because like, if you eat it well enough, they'll ask for you to hit.
That is ideally, yes.
Oh my god.
Bro, that song... He said
the new coach, like, I'm the coach like Avery. And that was back when Avery, the little short, he was the coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
Bro, how come we can't think of his name? Avery Bradley?
Avery Bradley, I think that's it.
That was about to be a like memory hole scary thing. It's like, because I used to, I'm sure you were the same. Like, I used to watch, I mean, you probably consume a little more sports media than I do, I would think, with your line of work. But there was a time in my life when I could name like almost every starter on every Major League Baseball team. You know what I mean? You just like when you're a kid, you just like you just watch SportsCenter at breakfast. You, like,
I think NFL is the only way I have that because I really started like watching all this stuff like on purpose work. By the way, it's not Avery Bradley because
Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, right. Thank you. Thank you.
Scary.
Thank
Who's you. Avery Bradley?
Is
that a person?
Yes, he played for the Utah Jazz for a long time.
Okay.
Bounced around a little bit. LA Lakers. Oh, he's 33. He's our age.
That's crazy. I was definitely thinking of Avery Johnson.
Yeah, who's now a quarterback at Kansas State, says the internet.
Oh, yeah. There he is.
No, he didn't like change jobs. I'm just okay. okay, landing this plane.
Somehow.
Lil Wayne is... a fantastic rapper, a staple in our childhood. And as much as we love nostalgia to vote on presidencies and Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fights, and if they bring back the Tamagotchi, guess who's going to be the first two people in line to run it back?
Game right? over.
We're there.
Well, I'm there.
But for the Super Bowl and for sitting on business, you got to be current. You got to be current to sit on business.
You got to be current. You got to just give the show to Kendrick Lamar. And Kendrick, if you're listening, you are more than welcome anytime.
Yes. And please don't make fun of my haircut. Just look at the front and before you get to the sides.
But honestly, I would listen to Kendrick rapping about your haircut. I bet he'd have some creative wordplay.
He'd say, oh my God. Okay, we're trying to end this podcast, but the first time during the pandemic where I had to start cutting my hair, the first interview we did on Barstow Breakfast was with David Banner. And the whole crew was just like, this is in the Zoom before we started recording. The whole crew was just roasting me. They said my head looked like a heel of a dress shoe. And like, I was just trying for the, I wasn't good at cutting my hair at the time. And then as soon as we heard David Banner speak, he said, Brandon, why they killing you like that, man? Why they on you like that? It's like, I don't know, DB.
Bro, if you have David Banner in your corner, you can't lose. That forget about I met Kanye West, I'm never gonna fail. I met David Banner and he defended my hair.
Oh bro, you yes, are.
I'm a lyricist. You, but not like you.
Like the fourth Beastie Boy. Don't take offense to that. It's a compliment.
Sitting on Shiva.
Paul Revere is one of the best rap songs created in the 90s. Or is it the 80s?
I never know. I'm going to say every...
Saying
every,
that is probably blasphemous, though.
Probably, but I'm going to just like, say every... I have no idea when their music... Like, when did Paul's Boutique come out? Like, 94? I have no idea. We should have our rap fan
I know Beastie... I know Paul Revere was on License to Ill, which came out 86. Okay.
86 is crazy.
It may be the best rap song that came out in 86.
Do they get enough credit, by the way?
Beastie Boys?
I think so, right? People give them
with Travis
credit.
Kelce in existence, I think so. You know that he does that whole thing now?
Yes.
After every we gotta fight for the right to
We gotta party. Fight for the right.
You gotta fight for the right. Yeah.
But that's the thing, and we got to end it. We got to end it. I was about to say another 20 things. It's been fun. We rapped a lot of Lil Wayne. We sat on business. That's all there is to say. And we recorded for, it's going to be hard to edit because what am I going to possibly want to cut?
Good luck. Sorry. And we love you. Like, subscribe, send to your friends, tell people about sitting on business. A lot of people like to stand on business. A lot of people
that's
are obsessed
overrated.
With this macho, high testosterone, like bravado, mansplaining, standing on business. Like, where are the lawn chairs? Like, where are the Adirondacks? Like, we need to sit on business. And that's what we're here to do.
Let us rest.
Matt and Brandon. Look, I'm saying your name now. We don't have Andy's podcast yet, as you can tell.
We just want to keep talking, but we can just talk after we stop recording. So, yeah, please like and
subscribe. Oh, yeah. I guess the last thing I say, sorry for saying the R word. It was Lil Wayne said it. And
and he said it in such a clever way. Who could be mad?
Not me.
It was 2007. Nobody didn't know better.
Yeah, no, we didn't know better. We didn't have special ed in the lexicon of
Yeah.
I meant special ed, the character on Crank Yankers. I know when I said it, it sounded like I was talking about the school.
And imagine Crank Yankers, didn't they bring it back? I think they brought it back. I was about to say imagine if they brought it back, but they did.
They did. No one watched.
No one watched.
Because it was when Comedy Central was dying.
Comedy's dead, but...
Another episode.
We're bringing it back. We got it on life support. We're breathing new life into it.
You know what? This is the new Comedy Central.
This is it. This nebulous cyberspace between us is Comedy Central.
Yeah, we'll upload an episode of just the Kevin James special later on.
Fuck. If you want to see
the new Comedy Central,
just watch it. If you want to see some art, just watch it. We should spend an episode just watching it and discussing it.
Director's cut.
Who's going to stop us?
No one.
Our fans? Yeah, we're sitting on business. I almost said standing. All right. See you next week. We sat on business.